Good morning. For 27 years, I have been coming in this building. For 27 years, I have been on the other side of this pulpit. That's a long time for someone that's only 27, but I am thankful for this opportunity. This morning, we're going to be talking about authority and our need for it. I believe I was in middle school the first time I had a lesson on authority from someone here in this building, and it has stuck with me ever since. So many times in life, I'm brought back to authority. Now, in raising children and in talking to people at work about our religious views, running upon my own problems in life, and every time I have taught a class or put together any form of discussion material, everything always comes back to authority. Everything comes back to God's Word. And whether you are the offended or the offender, when there is a problem in life, from my experience, it is almost always someone who has acted without authority. Authority, everything comes back to it. And we recognize the need for authority in our school, in work, in every other form of public life, as well as in our homes, in our families, in our private lives. And all of these things come from God. So surely we see that there's a need for authority in religion as well. The word authority is translated from the Greek word, if I'm saying this correctly, exousia. That's E-X-O-U-S-I-A, exousia. And this can and does also mean jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, strength, and as we've already said, authority. So to get into the text this morning, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 9. We'll read Matthew chapter 9, there starting verse 1. Getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over the sea, and he came to his own city. And they brought to him a paralytic laying on a bed. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, "Take courage, son, your sins are forgiven." And some of the scribes said to themselves, "This fellow blasphemes." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why are you thinking evil in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know the Son of God has authority on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, pick up your bed, and go home." And he got up and went home. But when the crowd saw this, they were awestruck and glorified. God who had given such authority to men. So we see here that Christ's power and authority and his right and ability to exercise authority when he told the paralyzed man to get up and walk. I believe this is simple enough to grasp. We're all familiar with police officers. We have multiple police officers or upcoming police officers here. You know, they have that authority, and then they exercise it every day. That's just exactly what Christ has done. He has the authority, and he's showing it here. But to act with authority simply means that one has, as we stated, jurisdiction, or that he acts by the order or instruction of the one who has that legal or rightful power. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 28. This is another common passage to us. Matthew chapter 28. And there, verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That's all authority, all power. So that doesn't leave any for us. And the Bible front to back shows us all the power that Christ has. So we have to recognize the need for and have respect for authority once it's been established. Like in work, this is truly a personal struggle for me, both with the mask and with safety glasses. I do not like wearing either one of them, and it is hard for me to do. I don't wear it right. Oftentimes, I don't have a good attitude about it, and I am so easily find myself speaking bad of the people that are in authority making these rules. Now, I can tell you that I recognize where the authority is. I'm plenty old enough to know better. But when I fail to show respect or be submissive to that authority, how am I letting my light shine? How am I showing that respect? How am I giving the recognition? And I have heard, especially at work, I've heard a lot of people, you know, speak ill of the decisions that are made in the workplace. You know, it's so easy to find yourself in, and it is so easy to stand out as Christians, to let your light shine, you know, in a situation like this. But I encourage all of you all to think about your own work lives, because it is a huge way to let your light shine. But continuing on the thoughts and man's need for authority in the religious realm, we're going to stay in the book of Matthew. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, and there starting in verse 23. Get there myself. Matthew chapter 21, starting there in verse 23. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" And Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one thing, which you will tell me. Which if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from the source? What was the source? From heaven or from men?" And they began reasoning among themselves and saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Then why did you not believe him?' If we say from men, we fear the people, for they all regard him as a prophet." And answering Jesus, they said, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." So they asked Jesus, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Their question shows us two things. They recognize a need for authority in religion, and that authority has to come from someone who has the rightful power to grant it. They said themselves, "Who gave you this authority?" And Jesus answered them with a question. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from man? So from Christ's answer, we can learn there's two sources of authority. From heaven or men. It's divine or human. And this is still true today. Nothing's changed over time. Some people deny that authority from God is needed for all that we do in religion. At work especially, I regularly hear, "I can still worship God and be right at home." But that's clearly not what we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. We'll flip over there and read that. Hebrews chapter 10, and verse 25. "Not forsaking our own assembling together, as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So we clearly have authority here that we have to be here. But the attitude of denying authority, this is the attitude of those that either look to self for authority or that look to other men. Let's turn over to the book of Judges in chapter 17. This is one of my favorite passages. It's regularly on my mind. It's one in one of the songs that we sing to the kids. That's Judges chapter 17 and verse 6. "In those days there were no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes." And there's Jeremiah 10:23 and Proverbs 14:12. Just talking about looking to yourself for authority. That's never a good thing. Never a good thing. Or looking to other men, you know, just as we saw with the scribes and the Pharisees, reasoning among themselves. And the children of Israel, and they rejected God and Samuel, and they wanted a king. This attitude of looking to men or looking to self has even spread throughout the church. We see new practices have been brought in where there's no scriptural authority for them. And people think that we don't need authority for everything that we do. And this is the total opposite plea that we have made to the denominational world for years in the past, and also this newer non-denominational idea of accepting everybody, regardless of the way God's authority is or isn't reflected by the life that you're living. But we have to have authority. And when I say authority, we've all heard this said several times. It's book, chapter, and verse. We need to be able to point to where it says, "Thus saith the Lord." We need to be able to point to where Jesus said himself. The failure to recognize the need for authority in religion shows that we have failed to learn one of the basic Bible principles in managing accountability with God. You may act without authority from God, but you can't do it and have God's fellowship. It's not possible. Let's turn over to 2 John and verses 9 and 11. 2 John 9-11. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house, do not give him a greeting, for the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. So, in establishing what authority is and our need for it, now let's turn over. We're going to look at some Old Testament examples that show our need for authority. Starting with Cain and Abel, this is a topic we've just been studying on Wednesday night. Abel acted by the authority of God. And we're going to look at that in Hebrews chapter 11. That's Hebrews chapter 11, and there verse 4. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4 says, "And by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks." All right, so keeping that in mind, now let's turn over to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. We'll put these two verses together. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So faith, that was what we were looking at in Hebrews. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So Abel, he acted by faith, and faith comes by hearing the word of God. So therefore we know that God told him what to offer. If we truly have faith, won't we listen to God and be pleasing to him, just like we see here from Abel? John chapter 14 and verse 15 says, "If you love me, will you keep my commandments?" Now you have Cain, on the other hand, who rejected what God told him and substituted in his own will. He was not the rightful one to authorize his sacrifice, therefore it was rejected. His sacrifice was not accepted by God because it was not what God had commanded. And when Cain was talking to God after he had received his punishment, what he said is, "My punishment is too great to bear. My punishment is too great to bear." Just think how we'll feel the same way with our punishment if we don't keep God's authority and commands. And another familiar story to us, Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu acted without authority when they offered strange fire to the Lord. Let's turn over to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10, and there verses 1 and 2. "Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And the fire came out of the presence of the Lord, and consumed them, and they died before the Lord." So the strange fire was one that, other than what God had authorized. And the end of verse 1 says, "He had commanded them not." Now this is plain and simple to understand. He had commanded them not. And they were to get coals of fire that were from before the altar, that were from the altar before the Lord. We see that in Leviticus 16, 12 and 13. I'll flip over there and read that. Leviticus 16. Verses 12 and 13. And it says, "He shall take a fire pan full of coals of fire from upon the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of finely ground sweet incense, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the ark of the testimony. Otherwise he will die." So this shows that they did not have the jurisdiction, as we go back to our definition of authority. They did not have the jurisdiction, they did not have orders of instruction, and they did not have the rightful power for the fire that was used. So let's, one more example here. Let's turn over to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We're going to look at King Uzziah. Starting there in verses 16 through 20. But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly. And when he was unfaithful, and he was unfaithful to the Lord God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. And then Azariah the priest entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they opposed Uzziah the king, and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and will no longer honor. You will no longer have honor from the Lord God." But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead, and before the priests in the house of the Lord, beside the altar of incense. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead. And they hurried him out of there, and he himself also hastened to get out of there, because the Lord had smitten him. And we won't turn over to it, but in Exodus chapter 30, verses 1 through 10, it talks about the more of the laws for burning incense on the altar. But the burning of the incense, it was a good work, and one that God had authorized. But it was not for King Uzziah, as we saw in verses 17 and 18. We read that there were 80 priests. 80 priests. He pretty much had 80 opportunities to turn around, but he didn't. There were 80 priests, the sons of Aaron, that were consecrated to burn incense, and they all stood their ground and telling him what to do. And that's a hard thing. I don't know how hard it was for them. There were 80 of them and one of him. But being the king, I would think that still took some courage to stand your ground. There were 80 of them told him that that was not for him to do. But King Uzziah had totally turned from God's authority. And what did he do? He became a he became a source of authority himself. And he was not the rightful one to authorize the act, and he instantly became a leper. I can't remember the verse, but it says when he died, he was a leper. So he carried that the rest of his life. And in all three of these situations, we have instant consequences for disobeying God's authority. I am thankful to God that we do not receive the same instant justice that was given under the old law. I know I wouldn't be standing here before you today if we did. But that doesn't happen. I'm thankful to God that we don't receive that same instant justice. But right now we have time, and with that time we're given, we need to make sure that we have our lives right with God. And that doesn't that doesn't happen just by being here, listening to me, or normally Steve, every chance the doors are open, though that is a good thing and it is commanded. But having knowledge of God is obtained by reading the scriptures every day, just like we see the Bereans in their letter to Paul. They were examining the scriptures daily. We have time. We do have time. We don't know how much time. We have time until Christ returns. So don't be punished for the same reasons we've just read about. And I don't know how to say this. I don't know what the right way of saying this is. But if you don't pick a first day to start reading the Bible with your family, and I'm talking to the men that are out here. If you don't pick the first day to start reading the Bible with your family, you are the leaders of the house, of every house in here. There will never come a day, every day, that you read the Bible with your family. If you don't pick the first day, you'll never do it every day. It's not going to happen. And you are responsible for your family. That's why we're here. That's such an important thing. Can't stress that enough. But in this lesson, we've looked at determining what authority is and showing the man's need for authority in religion, and also those who reject the need for authority and overlook one of the basic lessons taught both in the Old and New Testament, as we've looked at. And if you're doing that, you're putting your soul in danger for doing so. And let's remember Romans 15:4. These things were written for our learning. So let's learn from these examples and use God's authority in everything that we do. And there's one last thing I want to point out, and then the lesson will be yours. Let's turn back over to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 17. We're going to read the first 8 verses. "6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them high up on the mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make 3 tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' And while he was speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.'" Listen to him. "When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground and were terrified. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, 'Get up and do not be afraid.' And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus alone." So here we see Peter, he was the one speaking. Peter learned of the authority of Jesus when God removed Elijah and Moses, and left just Jesus there. There wouldn't be 3 tabernacles built that would be equalizing the Savior with these two great but still much lesser men than Jesus. Jesus is the highest. He is the source of authority. "And God said to Peter, James, and John, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.'" God's talking to Peter, but he's also talking to us. And it can't be said any better than what God said. Listen to him. He is our source of authority. If there's anyone here who has in a public way disobeyed God's authority, and you need to make things right, or you would like to come and be a part of Christ's church, we can baptize you right now. Please come forward as we stand and sing.